I'm just trying to save a place in this songbook here because, but I'm going to pull this out. Just a few things going on with the ministry, up to date. We're going to have a prayer letter out here in the next, hopefully, a few days. But so far, we've been able to give out 5 cases of King James Bibles that since we've been there in the last 2 years. When we started there, there was 1 or 2 maybe found in the entire jail. The Lord has just opened a door for us to be able to get that in. So what a blessing to know that God is moving. And again, I don't go in there beating people up, okay? Because I want them to come in the service. And so just let the Spirit of God do what he's going to do, okay? It's not about what they hear of me. It's about what they hear out of the Word of God. That's what the important thing is, that they're hearing what Jesus has to say, what he's got to say, not about what I have to say, okay? And so people are contacting me for support afterwards. We've had quite a few people contact Liberty Behind Bars. We've been able to help them. You know, a couple of girls have been able to get them a job because of my old connections at McDonald's and stuff in Olean and Wellsville. I've been able to get them in for a job and such like that. And that's really what I'd like to do. Not just help them in there, but I'd like to help them when they get out. And, you know, become that ministry that can not only help them in there, but help them when they get out. Because probation and parole and such, they're very busy people, okay? Just to be honest, they have a workload that's second to none. Rehabs and all that kind of stuff, they just don't have time for the people to get the proper care. But imagine if they had somebody they can go to who has those phone numbers, who has that person they can connect with, who can help them get this job or help give them phone numbers or some type of training they might need in life. We got to understand, when we take these people off the street, they already don't have anything. And then when we put them back on the streets, we expect them to do something. It's not going to happen, okay? Take it from me. I can tell you that. I'm a veteran of doing that kind of stuff. And never, ever did I ever have the opportunity. And thank God I got the opportunity this time when I got out of prison. Somebody stepped in and they helped me, okay? My cousin and her husband, they helped me to be able to get on my feet. They helped me to be able to get a job. They helped me to be able to go in the right direction. Now, I did slip, okay? But let me tell you, it could have been a whole lot worse. My mother sitting here tell you today, believe me, it could have been a whole lot worse. And then God gave me my wife, Amy. When I first met Amy, I didn't know how to even write a check. Okay, I couldn't balance a checkbook, none of that kind of stuff. And these are the people you're dealing with in jails and prisons, okay? Because they just don't have anybody to help them. We need to get these people the basic trainings. Most of the people that I deal with have lived on their streets their entire life. Their parents come from there and so on and so forth. And then we expect them to come out and just be able to get a job. That doesn't happen all the time, okay? And so what are they going to do? They're going to revert back to their old ways, okay? And so this is what we want to do. We want to step in and be able to help these people. Are we going to be able to help everybody? No, we are not. But those we can, we should, okay? And so marriage counseling, individual counseling, I've been doing that for a while. Got a couple people lined up. I've been getting myself into that kind of stuff. We're over 40 devotionals every 2 weeks, okay? Me and Amy sit down. The Lord gives me a message. We put the devotionals in the envelope. We stamp them, address them, and send them out. That's a lot of work, okay? It's a lot of work for 2 people to sit down and do. So pray for us on that because it takes a long time, okay? We're both working full-time. We have children. We got ministry. And we, you know what? We have a family, okay? So having to do that every 2 weeks does take a lot. So pray on that for us. Many have seeking salvation in the jails. Many are seeking salvation. But you know what? I've been there 2 years. Only one claimed salvation. You know what? I'm not there for numbers, okay? I'm not there to say, well, you're 15. Listen, that's up to God. That's between God and them. It's not between me and Liberty Behind Bars. I go there and preach the message that God gives me, and he can do the increasing, okay? It's up to him to do that. But we do go in there with that message, and many say they want to get saved. And you know what? Many get out, and they don't contact me at all. Okay, it's a jailhouse religion. Lived it for many years. 4 pods, up until recently, have been calling out. That's all the pods that are in the Allegheny County Jail, save one, which would be a pod. A pod's usually for people who have some kind of disorder or they have some kind of disciplinary problem or they just came into the jail. You got a waiting period before you can be seen by anybody else. I've only had that pod call out once, but it's growing. Okay, we're usually getting 30-plus people every service, so it's a blessing that it's growing that way. Pray. I was just telling Pastor Ms. Hayne downstairs, pray Daniel chapter 1, verse 9, says that Daniel got favor with authority. Pray that Liberty Behind Bars gets that favor with the authority. We need the favor of those people, the administrations, the COs and such. We need their favor to be able to continue to grow with this ministry. We need their favor. And so pray God soften their hearts. Also this, when I was in jail in Florida at one of my many bids, I remember a correction officer, very mean guy, very mean, nasty person. And I remember him leaving to go home on a weekend. He had 3 or 4 days off or whatever. He came back on a Tuesday. And I just remember, I said, man, what is, he's whistling. And I mean, he's got these little pieces of paper he's carrying around in his pocket. I have no clue what they are. I'm like, what is going on with this guy? And so I was a trustee, in which means I would go out there and I would clean and I would feed the inmates and such. And I remember asking, I said, hey, man, what, in not so nice terms, what's wrong with you, man? What's going on with you? He said, I got saved. I said, well, what's those things in your pocket? He says, they're verses. I'm learning memory verses now. And I mean, just a happy, a totally different person. You know what that did to me? It made me go to my first Bible study ever. How about that? It made me want to be interested in that. And so pray for the, not just don't pray for the inmates to get saved only. Pray for them COs. Could you imagine? How about this? If they could, how about if they could see Jesus Christ in a correction officer? How important would that be if that person could say, man, I seen Jesus Christ in that correction officer. I want what he has. How about that? They need Jesus too. Let me tell you something. They're not the easiest people to deal with. Okay? It's because of the people they deal with. Okay? And so pray for those correction officers. Pray for their salvation. Pray that God will give us favor with them. Inmates are seeing answered prayers, okay? God is showing them small things. He's showing things in their life. And that's a big encouragement to them. That helps them to want to seek. That helps them to want to get into learning things more, okay? And the doors open tremendously. We have inmates that we deal with in federal prison, state prison, mental hospitals, rehabs, other countries. I mean, the devotional is growing by leaps and bounds. The people contacting us in all different states and such, all this stuff is going on. It's a growing thing. It's growing the way the Lord would have it grow, okay? The way He wants it to go at His pace. And just pray for liberty behind bars, because there's some things going on. There's some opposition. There's some things that happen. And you know, it's just the attack of the devil. I believe that's the attack of the devil. And so you pray for liberty behind bars. Now, I have 1 1/4 classes left, and then I'll be done with my doctorate. I have about a little over 1 class left, and I'll be done with the doctorate. And also pray, because I just sent, most of you have seen the letter proposal that we got out to Kathy Young. I went there on Friday to talk to him. They said the guy said it was excellently presented. He was absolutely thrilled with it. He said, we sent it to her, and I just thanked him so much for that not sitting on his desk. Does that mean something's going to happen with it? We don't know, okay? But let me tell you this. If you don't pray for it, it definitely won't happen. Pray for liberty behind bars. Pray for that letter that got to Kathy Young. It's to help people. It's for salvation of people's souls. It changed life. How about that? Man, how wonderful would it be to see changed lives come because somebody went into that jail to preach Jesus Christ, and that man or that woman can get back out to their family and be delivered from drugs and alcohol and such, and we can see them in the church house. And they're sitting there growing and they're flourishing in Jesus Christ. And He's done something in their life. What a wonderful thing that would be to see that. But I don't go in there expecting that. And I tell the guys that. I said, let me just tell you, I don't expect it. But it sure would be wonderful. But it can't be done without you guys' love, support, and prayers. It's much needed, okay? Because not only do we have that ministry, but we have our own family. We have jobs and so on and so forth. And so pray for liberty behind bars. Now, the message. The message is something that it just came out of left field. It wasn't something I was looking into. I was doing some studying and the Lord just laid it on my heart. And I asked Pastor, I said, can I get up at 1 o'clock and preach? He said, I won't have the service for the next few weeks. You have to get together with Pastor Hain. I asked Pastor Hain. Well, I wasn't gonna, but then the Lord impressed it on my heart and I asked him, and here you go. I picked these songs out for a purpose today, okay? And that purpose was, I thank Pastor Hain probably 2.5 weeks ago. I said, Pastor, I want to thank you so much for the song selections that you pick for every service. I said, I believe they prepare the service. I believe they prepare the hearts of the people that are sitting in the pews. I believe that with all my heart. And I said, I want to thank you for
picking those songs and leading us into those songs. I said, because I believe the Spirit of God is getting in and it's moving in the hearts. And today when I pick these songs, I'm not going to read them all, but in 4:10 it says, they bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. Up on his precious head they placed a crown of thorns. When they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. To the howling mob he yielded. He did not for mercy cry. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called 10,000 angels. But you know why he didn't? Right here. Me. He went through that for me. Now imagine if we didn't have songs that sang about that type of stuff. You can preach a message out of these songbooks that we have. How about your spiritual? How about when that music is playing? Is it arousing a spiritual feeling inside of you, or is it a spirit of thankfulness and worship? Let's go to 4. I'm going to go to 4:28. And it says here, I want you to see, and I'm not going to preach out of this book, but I want to share some things with you. It says, and he speaks, verse 2, it says, he speaks, the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody. There's a difference in melody and so on. And so I was doing a study on it this week, and the Lord showed me so much of a difference between the different musics and so on and so forth. And you're going to see where your King James Bible says the melody, because it's a sweet sound to the ear. It's a melody that God puts. And it says here, and it says that, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. Where is it ringing? That he gave to me with the heart that is ringing, that he walks with me and that he talks with me. How about if we didn't have music that told us that? To reassure us that. To get us into that mode of worship or that mode of thankfulness. How about if we didn't have that? And there's one of my favorite songs, and I know it's a few other ones. 73. 73 says, when peace. And I'll just stop right there. When peace. Like a river. How about that? You got that peace like a river? How about that peace like a river that these songs promise us from the Word of God? Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And I'm going to read one verse a few verses out of here, but I'm going to read one verse while you're turning there. Out of Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. While you're turning there, I'll read it. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. And he said unto woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not fear, excuse me, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And I just want you to see right off the bat here in Genesis 3:1 that the devils started casting doubt on God's word all the way back in Genesis. In the beginning of creation, the devil was subtle. He did things small. He did little tiny things, not such a big thing, like a big explosion. And he did things just tiny, a little bit of compromise here and a little bit of compromise there. And what did it do? It made them doubt God's word. That's what it says. Yea, hath God said. Music. Music, I believe, is something that is not taught on enough in churches today. It used to be. You can go out and find all kinds of music ministries and people who used to teach on certain musics and so on and so forth. But you know what? It's missing in churches today. When's the last time we heard a sermon on music here? That's my point. It's very important, because without that music, without that the words of God being put in a music book and that piano being played and that stirring a spiritual aspect in us, what are we left with? Do we have that spirit of worship? You know why so many people can't stand hearing singing in a church? Because they're not ready to be spiritual. They're not ready to worship God. They're not thankful. They have nothing to be thankful for. You know how you show a lot of thankfulness? When you sing that song to God. When you are singing these songs to God, you're thanking, you're praising Him, you are showing Him, Lord, I understand, I get it, I see it, thank you so much for what you've done. And it's just stirring your heart. And that's missing. Why? Just like the devil did in Genesis 3, by deceiving people, by getting them to doubt God's word, he's doing the same thing with music today. He's doing the same thing with music. And if you read here in Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 through 8, and it says, then an arrow cried and aloud, and it says, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that are what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar that the king had set up. And I had preached this before, and you could go on to verse 8, and it shows you here that music got people to bow to a false idol. It got them to bow to a false god. It got them to do something they might not have naturally done. But listen, he didn't just gather the religious people, he gathered all people. Those in charge, those in authority. And once we can get into the minds of those who are in authority to pull that stuff, guess what? The people are going to follow. But you notice there, and it's only in a very few times, you notice what it says there. It didn't say they played music, it said they played a sound. They're using musical instruments and they played a sound. Sound is different than a melody. Sound is different from hymns and spiritual songs that we're instructed to have. It's a sound. It's something that's false. It sounds wonderful, but Paul called it what? Tingling brass and cymbals. That's what a sound is. It makes no sense. That's how he got them to bow down to the false god. It's playing that sound. And guess what? That's what churches are doing today when they're bringing that music in and all that stuff. They're getting people to bow down to a false god. How? They're playing the sound of music. Not the things that they're supposed to be singing. It's been taken out. What the devil's gotten in there? And it says, I say here, it's a tool that the devil uses. We see a perfect example of him getting the people to bow down to a false god. He's already made the people doubt God's word, and now he's using music to do that. Once you can get the word of God out of people's heart, it's open for anything, man. There's nothing that can't be done with now. Ezekiel chapter 28. If you turn to Ezekiel 28, let me show you something here. Why is the devil doing that? Let's show you. Ezekiel chapter 28. Go to verse 13. We'll read right through 19. Talking about the devil here, and it says in verse 13, not a coincidence, that's verse 13. But if you're not in the numbers, you don't have to believe it. Thou hast been eating the garden of God, every precious stone that was a covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets, of thy pipes that was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise have they filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that thou may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring thee forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to the ashes upon the earth, and the sight of all them shall behold thee. And I want you to see here where it says that when he created him, he created him as a workmanship, that the pipes, in verse 13, was prepared in thee, that the day that thou was created. You know why? Because Satan was prepared. When he was created, he had music in him. God created him with music in him.
And when he got cast on the earth, he brought that with him. You think he just forgot about that? You think that he just didn't understand that? You think that, okay, well, he got cast down, so now the very thing that God created him with inside of him, it just got left up there in heaven? No, it did not. It says here that it went down to earth with him. And now what is he going to do? He's going to use that as a tool. He's going to take music and he's going to make it something that it was never meant to be. Okay?
And it goes on and it says here, when Satan was created, he was created with music in him. And when he was cast down from heaven, he brought it with him. You can find that in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, where he was cast out of heaven. And it says now it's a tool that he uses to deceive people. Okay? Proverbs 20, 17. You don't have to turn there. Let me show you what it says in Proverbs 20, verse 17. And it's something that the devil likes to use. And you know what? It gets everybody. When me and my wife first got saved, one of the hardest things that we had that we went through was getting rid of some of the music we were listening to. Okay? Proverbs 20, verse 17 says this. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man. Uh-oh. But afterwards, his mouth shall be full of gravel. Okay?
That stuff is not going to give you.
I'm going to get ahead of myself here. Let me not get ahead of myself. Ephesians 5:19. If I can get there myself. There we go. Ephesians 5:19-20. But I'm just going to read Ephesians first. My goodness. My pages are sticking together. What's that? My pages are sticking together. I got some ink on there from when I was writing in there. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to who? To the Lord. Okay? To the Lord. And so we see here, it says, it didn't say, hey, Miss Hain, what I need you to do is I need you to make these hymns and so I need you to make a sound to the Lord. He says, no, I need you to make a melody to the Lord in your heart. Okay? And so godly music and hymns stir up the spiritual. And sometimes the emotional comes with it. When you guys were singing that, if you've never sat up here and heard the singing, it's wonderful. And then you're singing the truth about what God has done in my life. And it gets me stirred up. It gets me riled up. But it doesn't get me stirred up and riled up there. Where, you know what? I want to go out drinking. I want to go out fornicating. I don't want to go out there and beat somebody up. I don't want to go out there and be in mosh pits. I want to thank God. I want to worship Him for what He's done for me. I want to thank Him because He's given me that peace in my heart. He's given me that new life. He's taken that sin and He's nailed it on the cross. And I want to worship Him and thank Him for what He's done. I want to praise Him for what He's done. I don't want to go out there and cause trouble. You know what it does, Sam? It prepares my heart to hear the Word of God when that singing is going on. Why? Because it stirs up the spiritual. Some emotions come with it. And it says, some emotions may accompany this and give an attitude of thankfulness and worship. Worldly Christian music. And there is such a thing out there called that. It's called the Contemporary Christian Movement. And I got some information for you on that as well, okay? It says, the thankfulness and worship, Christian music and worldly music stir the emotions and abandon the spiritual. That's what it does. That worldly Christian music or contemporary music or worldly music will stir up your emotions and forget about the spiritual. They don't put you in an attitude of worship and thankfulness to God. You know what they do? They center on yourself, how well you can feel, how much strength you can have, and what you can do, and so on and so forth. It stirs you up, and it leaves everything about Jesus Christ out. Didn't Jesus Christ die for you and you not Him? Christian contemporary music and worldly music stir up the emotions and they abandon the spiritual and they focus on self-worship. Psalm 71, I'm going to turn there and read this real quick because I'm trying to get this done. Psalm 71, verses 21 through 24 says this. And this is just one of the many, many things You can go look at the songs of Moses, songs of David, and so on and so forth, and see what they sing. And I'm going to tell you now, it's not a song of the world, okay? It's a song for what Jesus Christ has done. And there are many, 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 many songs in your Bible. If you'll go look them up, not only in the book of Psalms, but in the book of Moses and stuff, there are many songs that are sung. Here it is. It says, "Thou shalt increase my greatness." Why? "And comfort me on every side. I will praise thee with my psaltery. Even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto a shame that seek my hurt." You see, there are many songs that David sung. Was it on? What was it for? His thankfulness, the worship Jesus, the worship God for what He's done, for His goodness. Remember, David got himself in a mess. He got himself in a mess with Bathsheba. He went through a lot. But when God did something for him, He went to him with spiritual songs and hymns. Okay? He went to him with that. And he sang those praises, and it stirred up his spiritual side, Pete. And you know what it did? It made him sing thankfulness unto God. It made him sing praise unto God. That's what it did. If you don't have music that's doing that, you got the wrong music. Okay? And just like the devil is subtle, and he just goes in there by little things and changes things here and there. Hey, man, guess what? He's doing it to you too. You don't have to believe it. You can reject what's being said here. That's fine. You're not rejecting me. You're rejecting what the Bible says, not me. You're rejecting what Jesus Christ says, not me. Okay? Notice in Daniel 3, 5, it says, "What time ye hear the sound." It didn't say psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Without any of these, it's just a sound. Without any of the worship, without any of the praise, it's just a sound. And to say this, a small compromise leads to big trouble. A small compromise leads to big trouble. You'll find yourself in a place that you've never intended to be. Isn't that what happened to Eve? A small compromise got her into a place she never thought would happen. You know what happened because of her decision? All mankind. Because of Adam, became lost and condemned to hell because they all became sinners. One compromise. Now, thank God that it's not left in any of our hands, because we'd all be damned. But you know what? If you're compromising on the word, if you're compromising on the music, you'll compromise on anything. There's nothing that devil can't get you to do. There's no part of your heart or no part of your mind that he can't get in and turn it around. If he's already got you on the word, if he's already got you in the music, forget it. You know why a lot of people can't hear the preaching that goes on? Because their heart hasn't been prepared by the music. I believe that's very important. I do. And it hit me probably about 2.5-3 weeks ago. I almost approached Pastor Hayden in tears, and I said, "Thank you so much for the songs that you pick, because I believe it prepares my heart as I sit there." You know why? Because I don't always come to church with a prepared heart. But when those hymns are being sung, it makes me realize, my goodness, He saved me. He died for me. I ought to be thankful. I ought to come here and worship. I ought to come here and hear what He's done for, what He's got to say to me, so I can leave here differently than I came in here. That's what those songs do. That's what they're supposed to do. Hey, man, when you're out there and you're living on the streets and you're going back and forth to work or whatever you're doing out there, and you're throwing some good Christian hymns, man, it makes you feel wonderful. I'm just telling, we do it all the time, and I'm just telling you, the tears are flowing, man. I've got my hands raised up. People are thinking my wife robbed me with the guns. I got both hands in the air. The God. They're next to us going, "What?" And I'm crying, "Oh, thank you, Lord. I love it." Because He's so good to me, and I realize that when I'm hearing His songs, how good He really has been to me. But if I didn't have that, it'd just be an emotion. It would just stir my emotions. You know what? It gives you a temporary good feeling. That I'll admit. But the peace that God brings with the hymns and the spiritual songs and the good godly music, that peace that He brings, you know what? It lasts more than just 24 hours. And even when you get the good music in you and you hear these good hymns that we sing here, that can be more of a witness to you than anything. It could change your life by hearing them. I picked those three songs because those three songs, I know those things in my heart. I know them deep inside of me. They're not just something that I claim. I promise you, I take these things home with me as well. I live them at home just as well as I do here. Why? Because it's a reality to me. It's a reality. Jesus Christ didn't just save me from drugs and alcohol. He didn't save me from just being a gang. He didn't save me just from my cussing and so on and so forth. He saved the entire person, the whole Dale Morey, who I really am. That's who he saved. Everybody wants to get rid of the drugs and the alcohol and the smoking and so on and so forth. Listen, man, God's after something way beyond that. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle that the Lord uses to light the inward parts of the belly. God put a spirit in every single man and woman, child. And that spirit is what he uses to light the inward parts of your belly. That's the thing that he's trying to expose to you of what you really are. Those things we already know, he's not trying to get us to see that. He already knows we see that. It's the thing we don't know. It's that thing that we bury deep inside. Well, let me help you. Get to that point where you'll start listening to what that candle is trying to show you. Change your music. Change your music. You may not sit down and listen to a preaching CD all the time and all that. You know, you don't have one or your car. But you know what? You can find a good Christian music to listen to, and that'll preach to you just as well. That'll preach to your heart just as well. Hey, and if you're a lost person in here, it'll get you saved. You know why? It's glorifying God, not you. I'm running out of time. But I want to, one of the biggest names out there for Christian contemporary, one of the guys who started this, one of the movements, he's now repentant. He sees his mistake. Okay? And I got a quote from him, and I'll give you his name afterwards. But many of the founders of the CCM, Contemporary Christian Music Movement, they're repenting today. And they're saying that we have created a beast, which have turned the people away from God and have turned and walked away from Jesus Christ in true worship. And his name is Daniel Lucarni. Okay? And he says, we started this. He said it was just something that we were going to put out there, and it was just done on a whim. And he says that we've created a beast now. And we've turned people away from Jesus Christ. We've turned them away from worship. We've turned them away from who Jesus Christ is and what true Jesus and salvation is. He goes, now we can't stop it. What he said. And there's many, many, many more of them who are out there now saying, what have we done? What have we done? It's gotten out of control. And I'm one of them. Before I got saved, I'd be in my car thinking I was cool, bopped my head. You know what people thought? Man, listen to that hip hop he's listening to. And it was Christian music. Let me just say this. Just because you put the name Jesus, God, or Lord in a song does not make it Christian. I want you to know that right now. I promise you that. Okay? I don't care if it's country, rock, hip-hop. Just because you put that name in there does not make it Christian.
That's right.
If it's not edifying Jesus Christ holy, it's not about preaching a salvation message in the gospel, you got the wrong one. Imagine Jesus sitting there. There's a type of music, a genre, or whatever you want to call it. It's called Christian death metal. Let me just say this. You think Jesus Christ is sitting there saying, hey, that's cool.
Yeah.
How about Christian hip hop? You think Jesus Christ is sitting there thinking that's cool? How about Christian country? I'm sorry, friends. It's not. It's not edifying Jesus Christ. It's not edifying the gospel of Jesus. It's not edifying the blood of Jesus Christ and forgiveness of the whole person. Not just those things that everybody, well, he needs to change because he's got to stop his drugs or he's got to stop. No. It's the whole being. It's the whole human being. I was such a hateful person. I was so hateful that I hated America. I hated everything about anything. And I used to write songs. My wife knows all of it. She's seen the video. My wife has seen the video of me on stage singing and kicking people's teeth in and everything else. That's what I do. That's what I used to do. My mother used to go to the concerts and watch me up there. And I was so hateful. And you know what I did? I got up there and preached hate on America. I would write songs that were hateful against America. I'd spit on a flag in front of you and it wouldn't bother me. I dared you to say something to me because I didn't care. I'd write songs about chopping Jesus Christ's mother up on a sacrifice table and stuff like that. That's what I did.
Imagine if I still listened to that stuff.
Imagine if I still listened to that stuff today and call it Christian. The devil's gotten so deep into it that the people in the pews are blind to it. I don't know much about melodies and singing and so on. I love to come up here and sing, and I love to sing when you're playing. I'm not a good singer. I never claimed to be a good singer. I couldn't carry a note if you want. But you know what the Lord said? Make a joyful noise. I have a reason to make a joyful noise. I got a reason to make that joyful noise. I got something to be thankful for. I got something that I want to worship Jesus Christ for. That's why I get up here. Not because I want you guys to see me. Most of you can't stand me anyway. I get up here because I want to sing, because I have a joyful noise to make unto the Lord, because I got something that God gave me. How about you? You know where that came from? I can tell you this. It wasn't listening to that contemporary stuff. I love this book. I love these. Second to none, I woke up this morning with a song in my heart, and I sang it all day long. And there was a time that I couldn't wake up with a song in my heart. All I wake up with is hate and bitterness. How about having to be able to wake up, Pastor Haney, with a spiritual song in your heart? How about God replaces that spiritual song and puts that in you? The music is a serious thing, guys. It's very serious. It's going to bring you two things. It's either going to bring worship to yourself, or it's going to bring worship to Jesus Christ and thankfulness. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. You can live it whatever way you want. That's between you and God. But you know what? As somebody who cares, I'd like to just share that with you. And I didn't even get to a quarter of what I had to say. But I believe enough was said for you to get the picture. I believe enough was said that you would understand that maybe we should rethink our music. Maybe we should rethink about what we're listening to. If it's not glorifying God, then maybe we're not doing something right. Okay? Because that's who it should be. It should be all about Him. And you know who gets the benefits of that? We do. I'm singing about God, but I'm getting the benefits. How does that work out? Because He's God. I'm thanking Him for that cross. Thanking Him for shedding His blood. Thanking Him for the things that He's done for me, and I get the benefits. Man, that doesn't get any better than that. And I'm going to close with this. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs work on the spiritual aspect of a person to promote worship and thanks. In Revelation 12:9, it says that the devil's here on earth and he continues to deceive people. And if you look at that word in your King James Bible, in Revelation 12:9, it says deceiveth. It's got an ETH on the end of it. Now, ETH means it's something that continues to happen. Jeremiah 17:9-10 says that we have a wicked heart. It's deceitful. Our flesh is deceitful. So we have three things. We have the devil who's deceiving us. We have our heart who's deceiving us. And we have our flesh who's deceiving us. And I got two answers for you on how you can tell if it's not. Number one, the Bible. No question. It'll show you who and what you're dealing with. Whether you're dealing with the devil, yourself, your sin nature, whatever. Your heart and music. Music will let you know very quickly. And so I'd say, starting today, pay attention. Pay attention to what you're listening to. Pastor, I'm done.